please. Today you're going to hear some stuff. Maybe if you're visiting with us for the first time, if you've been with us for any appreciable time, I will continue to stay on this theme. Peter is writing to the church. He says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And that stone causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." From time to time, I have to bring attention to who we are. With all the activities that is happening in the world, we forget a simple fact. We are the people of God. We do not flow in the things of this world. We obey God at every chance because it is him who we represent to this world. I have to also remind us that salvation isn't just salvation to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what opens the door to the kingdom. Jesus is that doorway, and there is so much that our Father wants to give to us as his people. We refuse because we don't understand what he has for us. With that door being open, we enter into an expectation that God has for us. That expectation includes taking his power. And what is power? The ability to wage war and the authority to do it. We don't war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And as we've seen today, we are active in that war. And that war is active against us and the people who God is drawing to himself. He has made us to be salt and light in this decadent society. And if we are doing things just like the world, as we heard yesterday, we're not going to draw them to Jesus Christ. And personally, I question your salvation. I do. I question it because when we repent and we cry out to God, that is the first step of obedience that he expects of us. He expects his people to conform to his ways, to his words, to be a people separate from the world, but yet in the world to make a difference. You are kings and priests. You are part of a royal priesthood. They are not just words, they are the word of God. And if you don't believe it, let the enemy beat on you some more. You will see that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has said to us that we are salt and light. There it is, it's coming. You are the salt of the earth, but if you lose saltiness, how can it be made salty again? That is an important question. Are you Christ or not? I can't answer that for you. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled down by men. Your testimony is valuable. It is precious. Your testimony isn't just the words you speak. It is how you live. Both are synonymous to each other. You are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, rather than, they put it in on a stand to give light to everyone in the house. He has made us to be salt and light. In the same way, let your light shine before men, and that they may see your good works and deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's it. We're cooking now. And while we're at it, we'll put the next one up. Not only has he made us to be salt and light through our for our words and the way we live, he has also made us faithful servants. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household. Understand what he's talking about. In his church. To give them their food at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I am a faithful servant. I am giving you food in time. But I have to remind you constantly who you are. You're not some Steffett Fletchett type of person. You are royalty. You are a priesthood. You are God's people. Do you understand what that means? To be part of God's household is to continuously be trained up in the things of God, so that you can be equipped to fulfill your ultimate goal. And that is to bring the harvest into the storehouse. That is your goal. You won't hear it from many churches, but this is your goal. This is your life existence. This is your purpose. And every person that we win to Jesus Christ is ground taken. Christ expects us to hold that ground until he comes. God has given us gifts, of which Streams is now beginning to embrace. These gifts, if you look at Ephesians 4:11, are the ascension gifts. I am an essential gift to you. But in that, it's nice that you call me pastor, but really, I'm pastor because of Jesus Christ. It's just a job title. I'm no different than you. It's just I've walked a little bit deeper in the things of God, and I want to share them with you to take it further. Friday and Saturday is an awesome thing happened here, which is an answer to prayer to us. To see the ministry being taken over by the next generation. Of which you are that generation. God has given us these gifts to equip the local church, to build the local church up. What? To be happy and go lucky and not do anything with it? No. The purpose is to bring the harvest in. The other purpose is he has created us to govern. That's what a king does. That's what a lord does, is govern, not only in the local church, but govern the world. And I will show you shortly how that is a mandate from heaven that has not been fulfilled yet. The church is just starting to awaken to this reality. We understand that we're dealing with an Antichrist spirit in the world who wants to bring the Antichrist to power. We are working in unison with the Holy Spirit not to let that happen, but to bring in the harvest, because it will happen. Our job is to win as many to Jesus Christ as we can until he comes, and then we get our reward. I call them God haters. They hate God. And they're continuously spreading their false gospel of humanism. Anyone who has embraced humanism is deceived. We are to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that gospel of Jesus Christ? It's that I have received forgiveness for my sin. I have received mercy that I don't end up being destroyed. And God has accepted me into His family as I am. But He changes us while we're in His family. This gospel is not being preached through the media. The media would tell us that Christianity is on the downfall. And as I shared last week, Christianity is exploding through the world. Through the world. And we're just in our infancy here to what God wants to do. God has instructed us not to think that this place is a church, although it is. It is a fortress in which the people of God can come, be trained for battle, and go out into the highways and byways to win those who can't fight the battle themselves. They don't understand what's going on. The obvious hypocrisy of God haters is not new. They have been battling truth since God created the heavens and the earth. God haters, as we saw, started in the garden with the next generation of Adam and Eve. With the death of Abel by his brother Cain and building a city so that those who hate God can dwell there and do their thing. But you have to remember that you're dear children of God. He has overcome the world. He has made you overcomers. Because who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Does Christ dwell in you? Well, then we need to start acting like that and stop apologizing for Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior. He has created us, and I will continue to resound this. He has made us kings and priests. A royal priesthood. You are royalty. You are not to submit to what the world says and tells you. That's what you were before you became a new believer in Jesus Christ. Your actions should not be like the world's. And as we heard yesterday, we are created in His image. That image means more than just doing what I think is right. God, your will is going to conform to mine. No, it doesn't work that way. He's the king. We're little kings. He's the big king. He gets to tell us what to do. And He tells us through His word. His word isn't just to be picked up on Sundays and carried around and then we put it back on the bookshelf when we're done. This is our life. Do you understand that He has given us His word to prosper you, to cause you to be blessed in every avenue of your life, and to rule this world? How does that look? Well, first of all, when we come to Jesus Christ, we come singularly. We come to a place where we must rule this flesh. We don't let the flesh do what it wants. And so there's this battle that goes on between spirit and flesh. And some of us haven't been successful because it's rather easy to say no to the flesh and do what we want than to say, yes, Lord. From there, it stems into the family. The family God has made it so that men, us, take responsibility. We are to rule over our families, not as a dictator, but as a servant leader of the Most High God. He came to serve us. He served salvation on a platter to us and then demonstrated the cost of that. It was going to cost us everything to die on the cross. But in that demonstration, he gave us hope. He gave us his resurrection. And so as we deny the flesh, we begin to live in resurrected power. His power. His created power over all darkness. And not only does he give us his power, because the day that he rose from the dead, he made an open showing of all the enemies of God and led them through for open shame. For he is the king. Why are we in this conflict? Well, God's word is filled with moral absolutes. It tells us what's right, and it also tells us what's wrong. It tells us what's white. It tells us what's black. There are no gray areas. And God doesn't mince his words for his people. He has his word that if you are not aware of it, for over 2,000 years, they have been trying to stop the printing of this word for us. Why? Because those of us who love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, will take to heart to what he says, because we have been recipients of his grace to us. Those who don't, as the scripture says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. It should not amaze us that when we're talking to the, I call them saints, ain'ts, we're saints, they're ain'ts. I call them make believers who should be believers in Jesus Christ. We should not be taken back by their ungodly behavior. All of us are wrestling with our sin nature to some degree or another. But we are called to love each other and help each other through this so that we can be the kings and priests that God has destined us to be. Do you believe this? Is the question. Or is your salvation just, I got into the door, and that's it. That's all I'm going to do. God has so much more to give to his people. You are created in his image. You are destined to rule with Jesus Christ. You are called to be a holy priesthood, which means we give our sacrifices of all that we have, all that we are, to him. Because it is he who has made it possible for us to come into his presence. We pass through the blood with a heart of thanksgiving. Now you may not, for our visitors, you may not have heard of anything by this, but there are two mandates that God has given to us. The first one is the Genesis mandate. Genesis 1:28 says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. He's talking about our character and it ever increases. Fill the earth and subdue it. Take control. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that living that moves on the earth. That is, everything that is in our world, we have dominion. And that is the first mandate. Take dominion where you are. God is with you. Adam and Eve did not understand this dominion. That's why they were duped by Satan. And so Satan became the god of this world. He took dominion from them. Jesus Christ won it back for us and then said, here, here, take it. It's for you. God has always intended us to have dominion. In the Hebrew, the word is rada. It means to rule. And it's used 13 times in the Old Testament. It is part of the Adamic covenant that God made with Adam and Eve. They weren't just gardeners. They were rulers of the kingdom on earth. They just didn't realize it. You don't realize what God has created you to become. But one day, that will all manifest as you give your life and purposes to God and let God make something beautiful out of your life. Stop trying to be accepted by the world. So they hated Christ, they hate us. Be different. I had a guy tell me one time when I was in my job, he was telling an off-color joke, and he said to me, Gary, this isn't for you. And I was crushed because I like a good joke. I like to hear what's going on. But it was off color. It wasn't right. And then later on in that day, my friend comes to me and he says, I know that you're different than us. And I wanted to protect you. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. I'm not asking any of us to be perfect. He said, you're consistent. Are you consistent in your sanctification for Jesus Christ? Because as you see this happening, as you set yourself apart, you're becoming the kings and priests that God has said we are. So that's the first mandate that God has given us, the Genesis mandate. And you'll never hear it through mainline denomination because they focus totally on the second mandate. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Or, I have been given all the power and right to wage war in heaven and in earth. He is at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. He is waging war on our behalf. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He has commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. This weekend we had evangelism. But I must tell you how excited I am that the presentation was not static or just simplistic in such a way that we don't pay attention. It was filled with energy. It was filled with newness. It was filled with life. What has happened to us is the media has told us, you know, you sit in your church and you sit there and you shut your mouth and don't talk to anybody out there. No, 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 no. We have a mandate from heaven to tell everyone out there. And if they resist us, and be prepared to be resisted. Be prepared to be called intolerant. Be called to be some sort of phobia. Be prepared to be called something that they want to label us with and then come back and tell them, no, my God, my King has said I have every right to share the good news. We don't have a silent relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, what you heard in the church, shout it in the streets. This may be radical, but Jesus was radical in his time. He came against religious spirits. And because he came against them, they wanted to kill him. Which they didn't realize they were fulfilling the scriptures that God had told many times before. And as I've tried to explain, God uses the prophetic because he sees the beginning to the end. He uses the prophetic to tell you what you're going to be, and then he starts working in that. But what we do is we resist that because it goes against our mind. It goes against what we want. But let me tell you, he paid a price for you. You don't have the right to tell him no. The only thing we can tell him is yes, Lord. The word in the Greek for king, he is the king, is kurios. It means supreme ruler. That's why king of kings. Who are the kings? Us. Us. We're the kings. He is the Lord of lords. Who is the lords? Us. This banner isn't up here just to remind us that he's the king and whatever. It's to remind us that he's the king and we're kings. It is to remind us that we have all power and authority to wage war against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are not to conform to them. They are to submit to us. But they will not submit to you until you submit to the king. This may seem to be a little tough, and I don't mean it to be tough, but I'm trying to remind us as believers who we are. What are the rights that we have given to us by the king of this world? Satan is called the prince of this world, but we don't yield to him. Do you not know that when you came to Jesus Christ, God commissioned you? When we opened that door to enter into salvation, we were immediately commissioned to go and preach, go and make disciples, go and teach. He expects us to do that. If you did whatever you wanted to do opposite of what your boss has told you to do, would you still have your job? That is correct. You would not. How is that any different than disobeying what God has said? And I've heard it all through the years. What we are doing is still repeating what we were in the kingdom of darkness. But we now have translated, we have now been translated to a new jurisdiction. Do you understand that? We have exchanged our life of sin and death for eternal life. And the interesting thing about jurisdiction is it is made out of two Greek words. It's a compound word. Jury, which means law, and diction means to say. When we were in the kingdom of darkness, we used to repeat that law. I can't. I don't have. You don't understand. I want to, but I'm not. I got so much going on in my life. You have been translated to a different jurisdiction. Thereby, you have a different law that should be in your mouth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God is for me, who can be against me? That's what we should be saying. Not what we were, but who we are and what God has said to us. I said to an individual one time who was giving me this litany of excuses, I said, you got to start agreeing with God. You got to start saying what God says. It is. And what I find, it is not being said in the church. And that's why we have such a problem in the church, because we don't believe His Word. We're still believing that salvation is far off. Salvation is the day you receive Jesus Christ. Now the kingdom is open to you. I used to think this way. I used to, Lord, just get me into the door. Jesus says, I'm the door. Okay, I'm in. I'm in like Flint. Now what? God says, go this way. Okay, I'll go this way. I'm just a very simple person. But I am very adamant about His kingdom and about His people entering into the fullness of what He is and who He has become to us, not waiting on the sidelines believing that it's sometime in the future. The fullness of our salvation will be manifested at the end of this age. We will go before God and have rewards. James points out really quick about our faith. Do you have faith enough to sacrifice, as Sean and Sharon are doing, for one, which is at least another 18-year commitment? Or do you have a faith that you just talk about and there's nothing to show except your selfishness and self-centeredness? You be the judge of your life. Anything less dishonors my God, my Father, my King. If we're still trapped in disobedience to do what I want. You see, Jesus showed us how to be servant leaders. And I'm speaking to the men, because I'm that bold. Are you serving your wife? Are you the first to get or the last to get? Do you put your wife before you, or nah, you just stay in the background? I'll handle all this. Because your attitude has to line up with the King and the example that He has given to us. I've been married for 43 years. I've been in Christ a week or two. I've been in Christ for well over 30 years. I have learned what it means to be a servant leader in my house. I wake up, I say good morning to the Lord, and I say to my wife, good morning, beautiful. I married her to grow old with her, but she's not getting old. She's getting refined. That's true. Are we perfect? No. But we both love Jesus, and so we work out our salvation in fear and trembling in our relationship. It's time for the church to arise. Man, his nose is running. It just runs. It's time for this generation to arise. Why is it important? Because the next generation, if we don't tell them about Jesus Christ and He tarries, do we understand what is going to happen? We leave them at the ravages of principalities and powers to do whatever they want. We've seen that with a young lady who probably doesn't know Christ. But I've claimed that one in the name of Jesus to be part of the family of God. Satan will not have his way with her. Because we're a priesthood, we're expected to impact the next generation, the world. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. There it is. This is Jesus. He's praying to the Father. And He says, I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I'm not of the world. They see something different. Do they see you differently than everyone else? Do they exempt you because God is stirring them to protect you? Or are you so much like the world that we can't tell if Christ is in there? Only you can answer that. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart. Set them apart. Your word is true. Everything he says in here is for our benefit. To have a better life. To be prosperous. And to rule. As I've sent them into the world, I also have sent them into the world. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Jesus is sending us into the world. We are not like the world, but we are in the world. We have a job to do. Compromising who we are is compromising the image of God who created us. They hate you. They hate me. But I'm resigned to the fact that tough, I win. Even if they kill me, someone else takes the place. Someone else continues on. Someone else is going to have this message so burnt into their heart to tell the people of God who they are and what they should be doing. We are not only going to take the gospel to our friends and families, we're going to take the gospel to the nations. We have plans. God has given us plans in order to do this. The fruit of repentance is only the first step of obedience to Jesus Christ. If you continue in your disobedience, read 1 Thessalonians 5, what is it, 5, just read the chapter, you'll get it. It talks about, in the book, it talks about at the end of the age, that God is going to punish all wickedness, all evildoers, and those who are disobedient to the gospel. This is the gospel. Wherever you have gained victory in, hold that till he comes. For you are the people of God. Whatever he's directing you to take authority on, this is where the priesthood comes in. Understand who you are in Jesus Christ, but pray for God's mercy and grace so that you can capture that area. We are a nation. We have other churches that are actively doing what's being preached here today. Because we realize that our time is short. We realize that he has an assignment for us. We realize that he has given us influence. He has given us areas in which we are to work in. We, however, will not boast beyond the measure, but within those limits of a sphere which God has appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. In other words, what Paul is saying there is we have a realm. And we work that realm. God has told us what streams is, that the borders of our realm is. And we are working towards that. There is a realm, and that realm includes you, so that you can begin to work in such a way that we capture those who are haven't heard the good news nor understand it. This is where jurisdiction comes in. If Jesus has defeated the enemy, what jurisdiction does he have? He still has jurisdiction, but he has no authority over you any longer. No power to ensnare you. Nothing. You have been set free by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are a nation that is holy and precious in the sight of God. I'm not like that right now, Pastor. But you're working. God calls those things that aren't as though they were. He's already cleansed you. He's already made you holy. He's already sanctified you. Now it's the time to just walk with Jesus and let the things roll out. You're not where you're at because of your plans. You're fulfilling the plans of God, whether you understand it or not. Even in your rebellion in areas that he wants to work in, he's working his plan out. And he's patient. I know how patient he's been with me. As citizens of the eternal kingdom, we are to be governed by his word. Does your life line up with his governance? I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying that to help you understand that there is a plan and a purpose. Those victories that we have in our life, I question, to what end? To what end? What is God doing so that he has set you free to do what he wants you to do? It doesn't matter to him if you're rich or poor. It matters to him if you're obedient to what he says. And that's where we're going to stand before him to give an account. We are no longer slaves to law sayings of the dark kingdom. Say, I am no longer a slave to that kingdom. I am a slave to righteousness in Jesus Christ. Now, as a slave, and we've said this before the Lord has the right to tell us what to do. Give it to him. Let him. We try so much to try to figure out how to make things work, when really we should just go to God and say, look, I messed up. Forgive me. I give it to you. Will you fix it? And he puts super glue. It's called Jesus on it. And he fixes it. And you know what? You can't tell where you broke it because it's covered with love. He loves you so intensely. He loves them so intensely. But he equips you to do war. The seventh angel said to him, sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heavens, which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. There is a day destined for us in the future, but we're not to worry about the world situation. Our job is to worry about the sphere of influence he has given to us. It is our job to take the land, to convert everyone to become a citizen of heaven before the end comes. And not everyone's going to come. But as the scripture says, the kingdom of this world will now become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. He gives us his word that when we're young in the Lord. And the only analogy I can put it is like, how many of us have bought a new car? And before we go out and purchase that car, we take it for a test drive, don't we? We like the newness of the smell of the leather or whatever it is in there. We're convinced, although we're seduced, to buy that new vehicle. And we take it, I don't know about you, but I take it over railroad tracks. I want to see what this thing can do before I purchase anything. Are you the same way? Well, God's like that. He wants you to take His word and test drive it. And see the truth in what He says. Watch your life change. What happens, and I test drove this, and what happens is 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you look back and you see how good God has been to you. All the time. Not every time, all the time. We have not realized how good God is yet. But we're going to. And then when we're caught up and to be with Him, we will be just blown away by how good He is. And when we say God is good, that word doesn't even compare to how good He is. He's really good. And I'm going to have full head of hair. My hair is going to be shoulder length. I'm going to be svelte. I'm going to be 10 feet tall with the angels. I'm fantasizing. Okay, you can rebuke me later. I just got caught up in God, that's all. No. He wants you to test drive, to just see how good He is, so that He can change your life in such a way that people will be drawn to you. I have people come to me and like, they're amazed when they first meet us. We're just regular people. At least I think we are. Yeah, we're not abnormal, according to Frankenstein, young Frankenstein. But you have to understand that walking with God takes time. And He's going to change your situation in that time. He's going to change your attitude about stuff. You're going to first run to Him, not run to Him last. You're not going to try to figure it out. You're just, I messed up. Forgive me. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. He has promised this. That no weapon formed against us shall harm us. But we must understand every purpose of God is for first mandate, take dominion. You're destined to take dominion. And the second mandate, make others like you. Tell the truth. Not a lie, although we're tempted. Don't embellish like I just used as an example. Because this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to receive a new body. That's why I can say I have long hair and I'm 10 feet tall. That new body. He cautions us, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or judges him, speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment of it. We have a law. We have two laws in streams. Who can tell me what they are? We need to be consumed. That means being judgment free. We're not going to judge you. We all mess up. What we're going to do is, how can we help you? And two, we're not going to gossip. We're not going to put our laundry out there so the world can see what's going on. We're going to cover each other. Because that's how you work in a family. You cover one another. You don't speak evil about someone if you love them. Because then you have to come to my office. And as everyone knows, they don't want to come to my office.
I don't understand. That's true.
Say that again?
He's at least now heated.
That is true. And we'll go into that later. This is what the world is waiting for you. The creation waits in eager expectations for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. You are a son, adopted. You are not rejected. He has embraced you. You are part of the family of God. Learning the ways of the kingdom. You are a holy priesthood. Learning to give up those spiritual sacrifices on behalf of each other to do the will of the Father. You are a holy nation. We have brothers and sisters around the world we haven't met yet, but we will on that great and glorious day. Five things I want you to walk away with today. One, you were created to rule and have dominion. You were created for this. Christ expects you to occupy every advancement that you make and not return. Your jurisdiction is under the headship of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Which means that sphere of influence is within the sphere of the local church. You will be trained up and built up to be released to go and capture not the enemy, your brothers and sisters that haven't come to the revelation of Jesus Christ yet. He loves us. We are all His children. And He wants us to invite them to come back to Daddy's home. Look at the prodigal son. Meditate on what the Father did with His son. Fourthly, come and join the fellowship of the royal priesthood. What does that mean? That means you have a responsibility to seek God as to what His will is and do it collectively. You look at Acts and you see how the church came together to set Peter free. That's what we're doing. We are the 29th chapter of Acts. I expect God to show up and do miraculous things on our behalf. That's just who He is. And finally, change the world for the kingdom's sake. Each of you, in Ephesians, God has created you for good works. Each one of you, even if it's just one person, for you to help. That is a good work because it reveals the heart of the Father to that person who otherwise would be closed off and feel forgotten. God sees all and breaks His heart to see how His church is not responding to the needs of the people. What we do is we copy the world and we have all these social programs to jump in there. He wants us involved. All of us. To make a difference in another person's life. And that's all. And I know it embarrasses Sean and Sharon. They don't want this. But this is what God is talking about. Making a difference for the next generation if He should tarry. Stand to your feet, please.